Blog Talk Radio.
Grand Risings. Yay! Welcome to A Wonderful Approach. Welcome to our studio audience here in Atlanta, Georgia. I have a group with me, y'all. I'm so excited. This year, God has done so many amazing things for me. I'm going to do a little talking as we get started, but I just want to talk about just this year. This year, I got to do a live broadcast from Tampa, Florida. I got to do a live broadcast from Beaufort, South Carolina. And now we are at our annual meeting, and we are meeting in Atlanta, Georgia. And I have my A Wonderful Approach sisters here. Y'all make some noise. And so we are going to have us a good time. I have a special guest who is going to help me out to get started. And right before I pray, I'm going to ask them to do what I have called them and asked them for. And then we will go into my prayer and we will get started with our text and information for the day. So I present to you Queen Azza. Come along.
Greetings, everyone. Greetings, everyone. I'm going to sing a song that I was asked to sing, very dear to me. I actually cried listening to it on the way here. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my name. Yes, he knows my name. And know how he walks with me. And know how he talks with me. And know how he tells me that I am his own. He knows my name. You know my name. You know my name. Yes, you know my name. And know how you and know how you cancel me. Yet it still amazes me that I am your friend.
Everybody give my sister a nice round of applause. Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Listen. That song means so much to me because it has carried me through the last 3 years. God knows my name. He calls me friend. Mother, Father, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to study your word, to be who you have called us, to be, to break down the information that you have provided for us, to see it in a new light, to absorb it and make it personal. We ask that every ear who hears learns a new thing, every heart that is open, that it receives your love, every step that is taken, that it be in grace. We ask that you will continue to keep us, comfort us, and guide us. In your mighty way, I pray. Ashe. So, ladies, we are in the book of Psalms, as always, right? I'm always here. And I had to put my glasses on. But we're in the book of Psalms, and we're at Psalm 86. This is devoted trust in time of deep trouble. This is by King David. I'll read the scripture and then we'll talk about it. It says, "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O God, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you. O Lord, they will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seek my life. Men without regard for you, but you, O Lord, compassionate and gracious God, and a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me." Amen. So we got to discuss about the way I see this scripture and the way I see this prayer is we have to understand the context. And when we're making these words personal, we have to be able to identify ourselves. We have bells ringing. we have to be able to identify where we are in our own life. This prayer is by King David, who was anointed by God. God chose him. He was out in the field. He was minding his own business with his sheep when he was called into the household so that he could be anointed by the prophet of God. Thank you. And so David got anointed to become king. This is just background context information. He was anointed to become king over Israel. And what ends up happening is that there was already a king who was anointed before him, but lost his anointing. You hear that? He lost his anointing because of his disobedience to God. And so with him losing his anointing, he hated David. He ended up despising him to the point that he pursued him all over the land to kill him. He tried to kill him. Fortunately, David had a crew of people, an angel, they called the mighty men, who helped him, who helped protect him, who fought beside him, who kept him safe and from all harm, right? So this is David in his place, knowing that he has the enemy at his back. There's people coming for his neck, right? So this is where we find ourselves. As always, I do want to say and go without mention that this is not a one-woman show. I have people who are with us live, and those on the radio, I want you to press 1 if you want to add to this. It's never just a faith walk alone. We are walking together, and we are striving to be our best selves. Amen. All right. I don't want to touch on y'all. Sorry. It's different when you by yourself talking. So let's start at the beginning. He's in deep trouble. He's troubled in his spirit. He's troubled in his mind. He's troubled in his heart about this, right? And he says, "Hear it, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy." Being poor and needy, you have have you ever been in a place where you were poor in spirit? When you're down, this is the description of depression. This is the description of being, you know, it's too heavy for me to carry. It's a load too. I'm not pulling it. I can't pull this no more. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do anything. And he says, but guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. And if you have ever been in that place where you were down, depressed, lonely, and you prayed because that's all you had left, that's all you had left to do, that's where he's at in this place, you know. He goes on to say, have mercy, O Lord, for I call you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You know, can I just go ahead and... We spend so much time trying to just carry the burden, trying to stand up, trying to act like everything's okay. We put on our whites and we pretend like, oh, everything is all good. We might break down every so often and cry, but we still keep pushing like it's all right. And we look to other people as like they're going to be our source. Our source is God. You have to look to God as your source. He's your foundation. Nobody else is going to save us.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to add how much people need God's Father, God's guidance.
Amen.
God will tell you, even if you wanted that, if you thought you were owed that, I'm owed this kingship, owed this marriage, I'm owed this promotion. When we fight God, so things all together, God could have had a whole other belief, so focused on what he thinks he lost, that we lose God's favor by chasing something that doesn't belong to you.
Amen.
So we have to stop fighting God. And when God has made it clear, please follow the instructions. So we bring hardships on ourselves by not allowing God to be God. And we want to sit here and say, oh, no, I know what this is supposed to be. You don't know. God makes miracles. Mountains move and everything else like that, but we don't think that he can make those kind of changes in our life. You have to, when you begin to trust God, and I'm talking about the lost. I'm not even talking about David. And, you know, I'm talking about the one that had the lost.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasted how much time chasing him around and following, could have had his whole own life. So even when you think that there's a loss in there, I'm telling you, trust in God.
You got to trust him. You got to trust him. People get so, to piggyback off what Mama 7 is saying, people get so caught up in wanting to keep everything and hoard it to themselves that they miss the bigger picture. This job is just not good enough for me anymore. It's not my job to keep. I wasn't good at it. It's better for me to admit that I'm not good at a job and walk away than to try to fight tooth and nail to hold on to it. And that's in every aspect. You know, as mothers, we do it. As children, we did it. As employees, as friends, sometimes it's just no longer for us, and we have to walk away. Lifting up your soul. He goes on to say, he says, you are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Can we get away from love? We cannot get away from love. Now, this scripture was in place before I knew anything about last night, okay? And if you wasn't here in Atlanta, Georgia, oh, you missed out because we out of time. Love, he says, he, you are, you, where am I? He said, you are forgiven and good, oh Lord, abounding in love. There is no end to God's love. He's forgiving and good. He will have mercy. He, she, they, it will have mercy on you. But you have to remember that. For all who call you, you have to call. You can't call Mama 7 and say, can you call God for me? Don't call me, because I'm going to tell you, okay, let you lead the prayer.
Okay.
Because you have to open your mouth. You have to utter the words. You have to get to the place where you are talking to God for yourself. He said, hear my prayer, O Lord, and listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, and you will answer. You ever been in a place where you don't pray, period? Listen, I'm the person who prays, right? You know how often I'd be like, I don't even want to talk to God. I don't want to talk to God. Pray. I'm not opening my mouth. I'm not saying, but closed mouths don't get fed. And if God is our source, then we have to be able to open our mouths and pray. We have to be able to say, Lord, here I am. Again, standing in the need of prayer. Help me. Help me to be who you called me to be. I'm only here because you brought me into this existence. You already knew that I would have these trials and tribulations, that I would face these circumstances. But I need you to guide me out of it or through it, because sometimes we want to get out when we need to go through. And we got to learn the difference between the times it's time to get out and it's time to endure and go through. Those are two different things. But wisdom teaches us the difference between the two. He said, among the gods, there's none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. Very. But at the pinnacle of all, there's one supreme God. At the pinnacle of it all, there's only one supreme God. There's only one source of love. There's only one source of life. There's only one source. And so all comes to this one thing. And every knee shall worship God. Everyone will bow. Everyone will pray. Everyone will go to God and have mercy on me. This is not optional. It's not debatable. At the end of the day, this is the truth. It is. He said, all nations, I went on. I'm sorry, I was talking before I got to it. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Who can come before him? Who can stand? Did she say so? Say that again a little bit louder.
Know who your God is.
Oh.
You need to know your God.
Do you know your God?
The only way you're going to know God is if you get in that relationship with him. That's the way I know that. So when I meet somebody, hey, how you doing? What would I do? Start asking questions.
Oh, Lord.
Where you from? I share things about myself. Oh, I like to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm building this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know your God? Everybody knows if you call me after 9 o'clock, it better be an emergency. Okay? Do you know what time your God likes to be called?
Mine's want me to see him first thing in the morning.
What is your relationship? How are you going to have this relationship if you don't invest in it? Every relationship you have, you invest in it. Yeah, grandma used to call me head of boys. But you over here, how many hours do you spend on the phone? Booed up.
Caking for the young people,
okay.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. Think about your job. You're willing to go to your job and give them 8-12 hours. That's at the job. But you can't give your guy 5 minutes. You know, this is the kind of stuff I'm saying we got to learn when you go to work, you learn how to speak. Everyone has different jargon when they speak. I'm a social worker. We use this. Nurses, pharmacists, they got, y'all have a certain way that you speak. If you know how to speak, you're not. So it's like, really, when you start thinking about where you put your trust, where you put your love, where you put your time, but then yet you say, you want the promises that God has, but we're not putting the time in to build that relationship.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we're saying build a relationship, we're not talking about you. At one point, I got on God's nerves. I got to work from home. Mama Seven said, Faith, can you please find something else to do than to be with Spirit? I talked to God so much. I was like, my husband came out the room one day, and I said, Do you think God think about me as much as I think about him? And he looked at me like, that's weird, you know. But that's just where I had the opportunity to put all of my energy. Yeah, I was working. In between talking to God, I will work. You know, hey, thank you for calling. This is Faith. How can I help you? What is your problem today? You know, but then I'd be like, Lord, did you hear their issues? How can we help them? But you know, and so I had that opportunity, and God said, I knew when he got sick of me, because he sent me back out into the workforce. Go talk to the people. Please go be around somebody else and not talking to me anymore. Goodbye. Get out of the house. But I say that, and I make light of it, but the reality is that's relationship. So when I start praying and I call on God, I know God is going to show up each and every time, because I have built a relationship where I can make that phone call. Everybody can't call Mama Seven. Think about it. They can call, but will they get through? Will they get her on the line? Everybody shouldn't be, you should not be so accessible, because the relationship has to be solidified. It has to be firm. It has to be sure. It has to have a clear understanding of boundaries. Relationships are not free will. You do whatever you want, oh, willy-nilly. I'm just going to show up at her house and eat her food and mess with her cat. You know, Miss Jenkins ain't having it. But, you know, I'm mess with her cat, move her stuff around in her altar room. That's just not going to happen, right? And we got a great relationship, but there's boundaries, there's respect. And if I call her, I know she's going to answer. Even if I don't get her in the moment, she's going to reply. It's no different from any of y'all. If you have ever called me, it's the same thing. I may not be able to answer immediately, but I'm going to show up. I'm going to answer. I'm going to call. I'm going to, hey, how can I help you? If we, mere mortals, are not accessible because you didn't take the time to have a relationship with us, imagine how God is. God wants our time, our energy, our attention. I have a question in the back.
For me, I have an issue even getting contact with my kids. It's like, oh, don't check in. But like, sometimes I'm just kicking that stuff. I'm not trying to figure that out. I think that's for general.
So my sister has said that she... Mama Seven had mentioned that relationships are poured into, and she's having a hard time with keeping contact with other people. And so she's working on this, on how, what was the final part of your question?
Before and realized.
Okay, so she's saying that the problem is that she has a hard time connecting with other people. So how is she supposed to make this relationship with God? And this is the truth.
As above, so below.
Yes.
That's your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take the time. The fellowship is so important.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're gathered here this early in the morning. This is why we're here. Because we're here to love, support, share, and everything else like that. So,
amen.
This is the first step. You know what I'm saying? When we have class, that's the next step. When we get together in Tampa, that's another step. But you see how we're constantly staying connected, because when the wind blows, those trees are, so when those trees that stand together, the wind will not be able to knock them down. And that's why we gather like this. And this is why developing that spiritual house is so important, you know. And this is also, you know, with wonderful approach, we keep our young people close. Y'all say in the middle of the herd, you know. And that's why when that wind blows, it hits the elephant, the big elephant. They not move. But we're sitting there to take that so that you don't have to. And so that you can stay in the middle and learn. And then when it's time for you to take that outer rim, you already know. You've built up enough strength to handle it. And you'll have people all the way to the window for the cube. You'll have your posse already ready. And these are the people that are spiritually healthy, emotionally. We're all on the same path, you know, because you may have a question that one of these women will be able to answer better than me and mom. So, yeah.
And also, I have a hard time. I don't like calling people. I don't call people. Mom says, like, where you been? And so I have that issue, but it's an intention, and we have to be intentionally conscious of it. When it's so easy for me to just go tramping off doing my own thing and not thinking about nothing and nobody else, but I have to intentionally say, oh, it may be a group text. It might be a text message that I'm sending. It may be at a whim that I'm, hey, what you doing? How you doing? You good? Okay. Well, I'll talk to you later. Bye. I'm not a phone person, so I understand. It's hard. However, it's still important to take that time and that energy intentionally reach out. You doesn't mean you have to tell somebody all your business. It doesn't mean you have to know every detail of someone else's life. Just a simple, hey, how you doing? It's a start, you know. And honestly, very transparent, I'm working on getting back into the groove of it, because I went through a season where I was like, I ain't talking to none of these heifers, Lord. I don't got nothing to say to nobody, you know. And silence is also a good thing at times, because you don't want to hurt anybody in your mess. Yet, you have to be able to come out of it and say, all right, Lord, it's time to stop not talking to these heifers and let me reach out. Well, I'm not calling y'all heifers. Maybe I am. But.
Done that for years. You don't know how many times. This is your first opportunity to come in and learn and spend time. And you don't know who may be a little shy and might need your encouragement. It's going to be okay.
I mean, well, talking to God,
this is
the group chat right here. You know, I think that I'm going to get back to the scripture in a second, but as we go through this, these are the things that we need to learn and work on. You know, our communication skills. Why are we afraid, or why are we so easy to walk away from talking to other people? What triggers that? What's inside of me? I had to ask myself that question. What's inside of me that bothers me so much that I can't pick up the phone and say, hey, I need help? Right now I'm struggling. Or I just need a friend. I don't want anything from you. I just want, hey, how are you? Because I don't want to think about me no more. I don't want to think about what I'm going through no more. I don't even want to talk about it. But, hey, how are you? One of the strangest calls when I first met Mama 7 was I called her one day and she was like, ready, right? She was ready. Okay, what you need? I don't want anything. How are you? That was so hard for me to do because I don't do it. I've spent so many years because I grew up as a PK. I was around so many spiritual leadership that I was just like, oh, people, man, y'all all funny acting. But the reality is I had these walls up, and that means the people who needed to connect me wasn't able to connect in a new way. And so we have to be willing to not just the inner circle, because we all have our inner circle of people that we share with, people that we talk to. Deja is always, if you see me, you go see Deja. And if we out of town, you go see not only me, but you go see Talia. They always in the, they always close. I keep my girls close, always in my shadow. Not, and Deja's getting ready to step out, let me tell y'all. But they're close because I need, they the ones who talk to me the most. They see me the most. But I need to talk to other women. I need to commune and talk to and get information from other brothers. I have questions that sometimes my husband look at and be like, yeah, I might have been here on this earth longer than you, but I don't have the answer to that. You know, and so we have to do that. One, before I go back into scripture, but I have to say, during our fasting season, devotional time, I got Brother Ibrahim as my buddy. And at first I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. And this brother helped me so much with my son that he doesn't even know how he changed the relationship and made it stronger just by him telling me to trust him. You know what you put in him, it's going to come back out. Don't worry. If he said that this is what it is, this is what it is. But that's the communication we need. We need to be able to tap in. And this is why we can't be so blind and fighting. Oh, men don't know. No, we can't. Because we don't want them to be like that about us. We have to open those walls. We have to communicate, even when it's hard. Did I answer your question? Okay. I'm sorry.
I'll take back on that. We have to get out of our sad when nobody can help. Because you don't understand what I'm dealing with right now. Secondly, we have to get out of the mindset, and we don't consciously know this, of being our own or living in our own toxicity when we don't ask for anybody's help, when we don't speak to others. We have a tendency to just carry our own burden, and that's not necessarily what it is. When you're constantly reaching out to other people, you prevent yourself from getting in a situation where you become overloaded. They just said to you, how you doing? Back and forth conversation. Oh, I did this. Oh, I did that. You need anything? Oh, I'm good. Oh, sis, let me tell you what happened today. I was doing this. I was doing that. I just need to get this little bit off me. I appreciate you giving me a call. I wasn't even thinking about all of these things. We're constantly involved with people around situations and things, and we're constantly picking up things that we're not even conscious that are jumping on us. And yes, we being spiritualists need to be a little bit more conscious about grounding ourselves and washing things off of us, but life happens, and you get busy, you take on motherhood, friends, husbands, who things, jump off, whatever you want to call them, along with life situations, and just that moment in time where you can stop and consciously make the effort to do something outside of your norm can prevent you from becoming the toxic kid that we always got to have bail money for, or you always call in when you're in a traumatic situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have to be a little bit more, as you know, the elders in the group reaching out to our little ones a little bit more. But at the same time, it's a two-way conversation. Don't call when the house on fire. We can't get there fast enough to put the fire out. But we can at least be like, babe, I'm going to need you to put the mattress down. We don't need gasoline. You know, let's just back this up. So are you a little bit distressed about something? Okay. Let's have a conversation. Let's not get to a place where that's the issue. And the same thing when you go to God. Don't always go to God when everything is,
there we go,
the whole world is coming to an end and you're ready to jump off the cliff. God's tired of you coming to him when there's always an issue. Just have a conversation with God every day. If it's in the shower, if it's while you're driving, if it's just like, you know what, I'm going to take this 5 minutes out of my lunch break, I'm going to put something in my mouth, conversation with God, and say, look, this is my 5 minute check-in, And if I get just 5 minutes later on, they will have a follow-up to the conversation. But I just want to say, hey, how you doing? And I appreciate everything you've done this far. And if you need something, holler at Sister. Like, it don't take a whole lot.
Amen.
And then I wanted to piggyback on that a little. We don't really know what the test is.
That's right. There it is.
The test could be, could carry the burden, but should you? Are you setting a good example? You know, for all my women folk over 40, these young ones are looking at us like, do I want this?
Right.
Do I want to be a burden? Do I want to have to carry everything on my back? We have got to make this womanhood thing joyful.
Amen.
Enjoyable. Or they're going to be like, I don't want to do that. That's too much. I don't want to turn into my mother.
I don't want to be her.
I don't. We got a work appointment. We got a work appointment. They're looking at us like, do I want that life?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about a spiritual life. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about having joy. I'm talking about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to make sure that we're showing them something that's realistic, attainable, desirable.
Worth it.
Because I can't do that. So just stand with your testers.
Amen.
And have that.
We have
your strength.
For yourself and the others that are around. Because their test may be totally different than yours. Absolutely. Totally different.
And even including and speaking to that, as we, as the elders and the older, especially those of us over that 40, closer to that fish, that half a century, we have to remember that the seasons change and these young people are growing. They may not be who they were yesterday. And listen, I have children. I've raised other people's children. For years I've been doing this, working and walking and dealing with people where they are, accepting for who they are as they change, as they grow, because God is constantly accepting us for who we are, even when we grow. He's excited when we grow. Even when we don't grow and we get stuck and we're still the same, but when we think about those seasons and where how the angels rejoice when we take that step, those steps, those little tiny baby steps of faith, when we start trusting God, you know, that we got on this because we were talking about who among the gods is like them. There's none that all the nations will praise and worship, right? But then he goes, he went so much further as to teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me how to be more like you. God is going to wait. He'll take the time to teach us. I lost my notebook, so that's why I don't have one. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart. Oh, I've been waiting to get to this one.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay. Now, this is something that we study, having those two hearts, having a divided heart. Please explain.
Listen, let me get a little comfortable. We cannot walk around talking about we spiritualists, that we are godly men and women, that we are righteous in any way when half our heart is evil and half our heart is for God. You cannot serve both. You will have to choose and make a decision for yourself. Just because we can't see you, if you say you fasting, I believe you fasting. I don't care. That don't got nothing to do with me. I don't have no heaven nor hell, which I don't believe hell exists, but that's me. I don't have no heaven or hell to put you in. If you're going to lie, cheat, and steal, you're going to stay in that low vibrational energy, and you cannot be on the side of goodness where the blessings are. That divided heart, that one minute you for God, and I'm oh, mama seven. I love to see people. I see it all the time. That's one of the joys of me being her twin is – and that I'm not always out front, is I get to see what's happening around her, which is why whenever you hear me pray, I'm always praying for God to protect her. I'm always asking God to protect her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, from every direction, because I see what she may have saw or may have missed. I see people get all excited, and they be smiling, and they be, you know, and oh, yeah, Mama Seven. I see them also shun back. I also see the looks. I also see, hear, and see the comments. And so I'm always like, Lord, help this woman. Because if they go do that to her, Lord, I don't want to step out front because I'm not as cultured as she is. I'm going to say what I'm thinking. You know me. But that's that undivided heart. I can have my own issues. I have my opinions. I have things that I don't necessarily agree with. There's things I don't necessarily always agree with. But isn't that what the way with all of us? Don't we all have something we don't agree with? I can't change a moment in your life. But you know who can? God can. And he's the judge of all. He's dividing us by that. Do you see the world where we are? Where we are risking right now? Where all is at risk? And it's going to be a separation of the two. Those who are willing to vibrate higher and be of peace, love, and light, and those who want to vibrate lower, it has to be separated. Where will you find yourself with a divided heart? So I need my heart to be undivided. I need God to know that every moment and every day, those of us who are in the medical field, we are constantly ministering. There's no time that we are not doing God's work. There's no time. Those of us in social situations, those of us who work in banking, every job that we have, we're ministering to God's people. And they said that every work that we do, we should render it as though we render it to the Lord. So I just want y'all to be mindful of that, the undivided heart. But I'm excited because even though we are live and we have questions and comments, I have people on the radio who are still listening and would like to call in. So I have a caller, and I would like to say welcome to our Faith Walk. This is Sister Faith, and this is?
Ooh, greetings. Is it me? Am I on live?
You're on live. They laughing.
Hallelujah. Hey, this is Sister Unique Wisdom. How's everybody doing? How you doing?
Sister Unique.
Man, I'm going to hurry up because I've been a hoe for a minute, and then I was like, well, God, maybe I'm not supposed to speak because I'm supposed to be listening to everything that's going on. I'm so excited. I'm so excited because not only does this touch home with me through, it's like a confirmation to everything that I've been going through for the last year and a half. You know, and, you know, when at the end of the day, the conflicts that we have on the outside will reflect on what's going on the outside. You know, the conflicts that when we're seeking things outside of God within ourselves, it doesn't show up, you know, the way that we need it to show up. You know, we're looking for, like you said, somebody to pray for you, pray for yourself. You're looking for somebody to save you, save yourself. And you can save yourself through a prayer. You know, sometimes you do need help, but did you start at the base? You know, did you start by gratitude? Did you start by I give thanks? Did you start by, you know what? You know what I'm saying? Dig deep. I've been doing a lot of this inner child work, you know, and it's very hard for me because a lot of the reasons why I don't reach out to people is because in my childhood I was betrayed, you know, and I was betrayed by somebody that was closest to me. And so when you're betrayed by the person who gives birth to you, then it's hard for you to establish relationships with other people. And then when they betray you, you go back to that same wound hurt. But then you have to stop and realize that betrayal, you know, why did it come about? How did it come about? You know, and that was a lesson. And we sign up for these lessons in these lives before we even get here. And looking beyond that, if you realize that, no, I might not want to be like my mother, but I came through my mother to learn something. She's a part of my bloodline. She is one of my ancestors. I'm going to be an ancestor, you know. And so everything, every lesson, what she went through, what my great-grandmother went through, with all of them, everybody before me went through, is still in my blood. So those betrayals, those deceptions, it's for me to interpret on this light, on this plane, and elevate every life that we come, even in our children. That's why I'm a firm believer that we have to stop trying to make our children be what we want them to be and allow them to blossom to what God needs them to be, because they have a purpose. And so just listening to this sermon, yes, you know how I feel about you, Faith. Just listening to, you know, the message this morning just warms my heart, because it's like I've done the releasing, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I'm not chasing, I'm replacing, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go in there and look for something outside of myself to give me what God has for me. What's for me is for me. And because I know I'm one of God's favorites, you know what I'm saying, God got something for me. And unless I stand firm and look for that, if I'm looking for it outside of myself, it's not going to happen, you know. And make sure that my feet are planted and grounded and supported. You know, yes, I'm a bend. I got to make sure that I'm around stronger trees. The Rainwood Forest isn't full of apple trees. The Redwood Forest is not full of apple trees. It's full of other redwoods, you know. So in knowing your tribe and knowing the ones that you stand and knowing the ones that you support, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes you're not going to get the support back for the people that you supported. You know, I've learned that lesson. The ones that I thought that was going to show up for me, you know what I'm saying, showed up in a different way. And when I needed that support, I had those people speaking in my ear, or I had some people that just showed up. But still, it goes back to me, my inner conflict, my inner dialect, my what I'm doing between me and God. So, yes, you know, I was over here clutching my pearls like, ooh, maybe I need to spend a little bit more time. Ooh, maybe I need to get off of Netflix. Ooh, maybe I need to do such and such. Yes, you know, whatever you invest your time with, that you're gonna see that come back to you. So,
amen.
I'm gonna get everything in real quick. Ooh, now I can take a breath. Love y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Unique, for calling in. We missed your presence. Oh, wow. I have someone who wants to make a comment to that. Following up, you know, she said a mouthful. She said a lot.
But I'm going to comment on that. I'm going to let you do that.
Okay.
But I'm contesting this part.
Oh, the heart, the divided heart. Let's get back to it.
Because you know what, Dr.
Ooh.
So what is the pumping through you? So on one hand, it's pumping physical blood. It's also pumping spiritual energy. So if your heart is divided, catch it to where it needs to be.
How is it nurturing? How is it nourishing? What's feeding it? Because when we have those, when it's divided, let's say we're looking at it spiritually, when it's divided, we find sickness, illness, disease. Cancers rising.
All this, what is that blood? I mean, what is the heart really pumping? What are you putting in your heart so we can?
What is it feeding?
Inconsistent. Low blood pressure is just as bad as high blood pressure, just as bad as inconsistency. We need a healthy heart. Divided ain't nothing healthy.
Amen. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in Black women in America. Why?
Right. Reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
Put it together. I got four chambers. They're all supposed to be doing something. Find out what your heart is not doing.
That, why is that valve not working? Because they do valve replacements.
They do.
And why do we have to get a why do we need to get it replaced? What are you putting? You know, calcium and plaque is what clogs the arteries. What are we putting on the inside? What are we taking in?
What are we being around?
What are we filling ourselves with? Amen.
And so it's like, what are you putting?
What is feeding you? What's feeding you?
Sister Melissa. Monoxide. To anatomy and physiology on us. He has pointed out the very essence of what the heart is to do. It is already divided because that's how God created it.
That's right.
He created it so that it would take in oxygen. The oxygen goes into our lungs, is put into our bloodstream, and is pumped through our body so that we can have the breath of life. Amen. And then what he does is he, in his magnificent, or her magnificent, because it could have been her who did this part, in the magnificence of it, made it so that all of the waste, all of the carbon monoxide, all of the things that we don't need in our blood is released. In the air form, in the oxygen form, right, the poisonous form, is released back into the earth. It's released because the heart brought it back. It's pumping to, and simultaneously is doing this job constantly. It's bringing it in, it's kicking it out. It's bringing it in and it's kicking it out.
So if you're not releasing properly.
We also the heart is symbolic. You know, we know the heart has a function to perform, but if we don't regulate, if anything that we desire for things, our foods or things that will destroy the heart, if we desire spiritual things that will destroy the heart. So the heart speaks to desires. And to me, when it says the heart is not divided, it's the whole sentence of the verse. I pray that God is not the two hearts in one man. It speaks to what you desire. Though you may, in my understanding, stumble and fall, it's about forgiveness. It's about, I won't say guilt. That's a hard word, but it's about being conscious of it, of the wrong that you're doing, and the fact that, and also being conscious of the fact that, do I desire this? A verse I'm reminded that he says that God says, faith does not go past their throats. You know, he says they say their prayer, but it doesn't go to their heart.
Does it go to
their heart? Ew. So it's really about desiring. And one of the things that we say when I pray, people say, it's about the company to keep. I find that if I desire one thing, but I hang with people that desire something different, then I'm the blame. You know, if I want to fire up a cigarette and do something, I'm hanging with non-smokers, then that adds to it, the lack of desirability from performing that act. So I just want to say something that's symbolic also about the part is symbolic of desiring. So God is not, if you're righteous, though you may stumble, you should desire.
And so that's accountability, right? When we take an accountability for our actions, our deeds, our ways, we have to always take accountability. That's not the same as saying doing the things and then pretending that it's never happened.
Right.
We can't pretend wrong is right. No matter how much we want to, we can't pretend that wrong is right. Left is always going to be left, and right is always going to be right.
Before you go there, I also want to talk about the heart being in such a protected state. The heart is behind lungs, behind ribs. God has created a cage that holds our heart. So we should also be protecting our heart spaces. What are you doing to protect your faith? We should not just be anybody can have access, and our heart is connected, and it's in the center of us, you know. So it's literally the center of us.
It's in the center. It's in the center. You know, Brother Ibrahim brought up a great heart. A great comment. He made a great comment and said, you know, God looks at the hearts of men, and where their heart is, so is their treasure. You know, is your heart going to be in the righteous things of life, or is it going to be in the unrighteous? That divided heart keeps us from all the glorious things. We're supposed to be living life and living it abundantly. There's supposed to be love, peace, joy, happiness, all these things that we were promised, but you're not going to get it when your heart is divided. You're going to always find yourself in those deep, dark places. You're going to find yourself stumbling and falling constantly. You're going to find yourself in those situations where you need people to come pray you through because you keep stumbling and tripping into it when your heart is divided. When your heart is not divided, you won't find yourself there. You know,
you won't find yourself there. You won't find yourself on your knees, skinned up, bleeding.
So I find this to be absolutely fantastic, this how this conversation is going.
Amen.
Because I happened to wake up to a conversation that this pastor was having this morning. And while I was on television, hey, it just happened to happen. But the gist of the conversation was, can you be trusted by God?
Ooh.
And the conversation...
Hold on for a second. Can I have everybody break that down? Okay, say it again slowly.
Can you be trusted
Ooh.
By God? And so Sister Faith was saying that your heart houses the treasures, the love, the peace, the understanding, the wisdom, the long-suffering, all those things in the conversation that we had, what is love, last night. And he happened to pose this conversation of some men in a house and somebody busting in the house. And are you a child of God? And the question is yes or no. If you say no, you can leave. It's no issue. Yes, you say you die. And the man said, in your heart, in this conversation, are you going to say no so that you save yourself? But what are you sacrificing when you say no?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to be on faith in time and place and willing to give up the essence of who you are in that moment to claim that you are God's one and only? And so if you are in that space where you can be ambivalent in that moment in time, God cannot trust you past you being in an inawkward, being in an awkward situation. Your God can't trust his life. Your heart is divided based on how you feel in the moment. Well, God, I don't know where this is going, but I hear what you're saying. So we get here, and this conversation gets to this point, and it's, you cannot have two hearts and one body.
No.
And the craziness that happens, people heard of, you know, the Siamese twins, but you know what? They can't function totally together. One is always feeding off of one thing here. This piece of the heart is doing this. This part of the lung is doing this. This kidney is working over here. Somebody's always lacking. You can't have half the bricks to a house and two people. Either y'all going to be smart enough to put all the bricks together and build one house and make it work, but somebody going to feel some type of way because the house don't look like what they thought it was supposed to look like because these were their bricks. Your house is your house. Your heart is your heart. God knows exactly who you are based on the time, the place, the circumstances that created who you are. You got a little bit of patience here. You got a lot of love over here. You got, God knows where you are. But he needs to understand how you function when you're uncomfortable.
Mm.
Based on when you're uncomfortable, knows how far he can take you. And I don't need God to stop me at level three when I'm supposed to be at 157.
You have, I'm sorry, and you have to know, you have to know where it, what she's saying is, ooh, what she's saying is heavy. That's heavy because you.
No one wants to be uncomfortable.
Nobody wants to be uncomfortable. But have you ever been uncomfortable? How did you react when you were pushed against the wall?
That's right. If you don't know what the test is, the uncomfortable might be the test. Are you going to stop and call out? God's like, I'm waiting on you. I know I made you strong.
That's right.
I know I made you strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still here. I'm waiting for you to call me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting. And if you don't call me now, I'm going to put another test here to test you. Because I'm waiting for you to call me.
How many times?
I'm going to put you up.
How many times? I send stuff to you. He said, I'll give you a way of escape. I'm going to give you doors of escape. I'm going to give you a way to have to call me. And every time I push you up against that wall, you ignore the angel who came by and said, sister. Every time I push you against that wall, you ignore the child who says, mother. every time I push you against that wall, you ignore the beggar on the corner.
And trust me, constantly. The uncomfortable test is coming. And if you ever thought that you had a calling on your life, you knew this, you knew that, the test is thicker.
Every time.
They have to. They have to. So get uncomfortable.
Amen.
For God, when it comes to God,
get uncomfortable. Came from just God. You know, a lot of us find ourselves in uncomfortable situations. But my biggest problem is we eat everything out kind of scripture.
Yeah, it is. Every time he says scripture, I get a scripture in my head for it. I'm like, Lord, will he stop it?
During these uncomfortable situations, God's calling us is man's plan and God's plan.
Surely, for sure. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Situation, what I find myself in a lot of times is that awareness of God phase. I start figuring out how can I get out of this. And this is what we talk about, that divided heart.
That divided heart.
Really, it's the things that I say I hate. Am I taking us in the third spot to get out of lack of having money? Am I going to go over here and steal somebody else's milk bottle with her man?
I have to know how to say thank you and be gracious and have gratitude and give and send that forth. I have to be kind to every first myself. And I'm kind to myself by saying, Lord, thank you for another day, even if that's the prayer. Even if it's just limited to that. But, Habiba, you have something you want to say?
Yeah. One big word.
Habiba said is, she's keep hearing one word that comes to mind, and that is discernment. It's a gift of the Spirit. Spirit gives us discernment because if we don't have that discernment, if we don't have that gift and that anointing of discernment, we'll find ourselves around all kind of muck. And those of you who have been to the Love Yourself retreat, you know all about the muck. Those of you who haven't been there, I'm praying for you. But that discernment is a part of, is one of the gifts that wisdom brings to us. Wisdom carries that with her. That's her handbag. What? Did you not see that? Mama Seven said she sees our energy first. Well, do you know somebody who can't see well? You see my glasses on, right? When I take my glasses off, it's not perfect in this world. But I understand it. But if you have dark energy, I'm a sidestep you. I'm a roll away. I'm not gonna ever be rude to you, because God doesn't call that from me. But it's helping me to discern whether or not how close should this get to me. How do I say, oh, no, thank you. My baby girl says it so well. It doesn't matter how good you present something to her. Oh, I have this delicious hot cup of coffee. It's perfectly sweetened. It is creamed perfectly. It is delicious. Would you like it? And she'll look at you and she'll say, no, thank you. It don't matter who. I've seen her give up stuff that I was like, that's a good deal. And she's like, no, it's not. But it's a gift that she came here with, of discernment. Everything offered is not necessarily good.
And as spiritual people, it's a muscle we've been hearing it. Our light shines too bright. We're sitting up, we're trying to get bright, we're trying to get clean, trying to, and there are people that are like, ooh, I like to just wipe my dirty hands on you. And I want my hands to clean my dirty hands. It's a muscle. Muscles have to be rehearsed, have to be practiced. You got to go do a workout routine. This is something that you need to be working on actively.
Awesome. I'm so grateful for this opportunity, y'all. Like, you just don't understand. To have a conversation about love never failing, to getting to a place where we're talking about making sure that we don't have divided hearts. And this is in every aspect of our life. I can't even go back to the scripture. Spirit is like, that was it. That's all I wanted to get out. No, I see you got these check marks. No, we're not talking about that now. But I really need you to understand that where your heart is at this very moment in time is your decision on where you go next with it. You have to decide. Can't nobody make you do it. I wish somebody would try to make me do anything. You know, you could suggest it. You could suggest it, but I'm not going to do anything. If you have questions, please now ask your questions. Interact with me. This is a part of my next step, so I need y'all to work with me.
A lot. Mama Sandy told me years ago that I wanna be Miss South Carolina. I found it. And as soon as I made teacher of the year, they gave me three schools. I'm a real teacher doing PE. So I'm like, what the notes got to do with dodgeball? I wasn't feeling it. I was miserable.
Mm. Oh, that's a back against the wall thing, huh?
I was trying to look so good on my own paper that my spiritual resume was depleted. You know?
Amen.
That's how it works. I promise you. Okay.
Amen.
And my last check was in July. I said, Lord, rent going up. I don't know what to do. I'm applying for these different jobs in South Carolina. He was like, now you ready for Georgia? Because you've been running from it. You've been running from it due to trauma. Are you ready now? So I had to stretch my check from July 15th to September 5th. I'm talking about stretch, huh?
He made miracles. He watched miracles.
Oh, back. I said, Lord, have mercy. I need something. And when y'all mentioned that comfortability and how would you react, I had no choice but to fast. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fast. I have no choice. And I don't want to do the wrong thing. I said, I really surrender because it's my demise. Like, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. Where's the next meal going to come from? Am I gonna stay with somebody? Like, how is this gonna work for me? And I literally just depended on God today. That's all I knew.
Oh, you decided to exercise your faith. You decided to trust God.
That's when the detachment of money came for me, because I feel abundance. It's not the green stuff.
Okay. You gonna say that?
That's the evidence.
That's the evidence. You it.
Mm-hmm. That's the evidence. Mm-hmm. In this material world is where our blessings come from. This is where we can see it. So this is where
it says, the scripture says, let me tell you what scripture says. Scripture says, trust in God with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, and all these things will be added unto you according to my riches and glory. That's what God says.
Yes.
I had another question, everybody. A comment. What are you pumping through your heart when it's divided? She's talking about how Harvard Films did something to her spirit. She can't watch it now that she started her journey to holiness or righteousness or spirituality. What are you taking into your spirit? Undivided heart. The sister's talking about the undivided heart. You know, that's interesting. My husband was very into horror films, and that, you know, I've never, because I grew up in a spiritual household, so that wasn't allowed, you know, especially for me. I think they made a mistake when I was about, I don't want to say how old I am because I've been on the earth. Oh, okay. So when Halloween first came out, the original one, when my sisters made a mistake and took me to see that show, and we had to walk home from the movie theater, and I promise you, I think for like maybe 3 months straight, I was harassing my parents trying to get in their bed because that was the safest place I knew. Anybody's bed who was good, let me in there. I was coming, and they didn't want me to because I used to wet the bed, so they'd be like, no, you can't stay here. And so that was not allowed after that. My father realized that, wait a minute, she's too sensitive to this. And so I wasn't allowed. I didn't get to see. I had to sneak and see Freddy Krueger years later, and I was like, oh, Lord. And then he was mad because who let you see it, you know. But I say all that to say that what we put in our spirit is what's going to come out. what goes in comes out. Any more questions or comments?
Good advice. Actually, after this trip, on the 7th, we'll be hanging out with my dad. She said, you know, watch the movie. One of the things that I noticed is stupid you open. I'm watching it. I'm like, okay. But one of the things she said, if your child can't watch it.
Amen.
It's like, it's, so I now find myself all the TV. Did my son, 15, come and be like, hey, what you watching? And drop down to it. Right? Because it really is about like having that child like heart. And I think once you start getting the habit of doing this, you will finally actually enjoy it. Once your heart gets away from the perverseness and all the other things that you thought was funny or humorous, you know, that destruction of life, bad character people portray, just very bad images and things like that. When you start watching them, so you're walking away feeling you're lighter, and it is a wonderful opportunity to draw a family together.
Amen.
Wonderful opportunity to hang out with your people.
Let the mama 7.
I wanted to speak about this holy surrender you were going through that you spoke about. Everyone has a holy surrender that they have to do. Everyone. You just may be aware of it. And if you're aware of it, that puts you in a very mature setting because most people fight it, they don't know about it, whatever. There is a holy surrender that is due. Stuff like that. Follow God's instructions. Do what you need to do. But understand you're not by yourself in that. We all have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So that's that holy surrender, when you see it, you have to commit to it. And if you can do so patiently, which means to suffer and endure without complaints, if you can do it patiently, there's blessings on the other side. You know?
Sister Sharon, an episode of the where she got a flat tire on the highway, calling for help. Help show that. Amen. She's talking about how God showed up for her through the form of a drug addict. Drug addicts. The angels in disguise. The angels in disguise. Amen. Amen. So, you know, this has been so filling on my spirit so far. I'm so happy right now. Tickle pink because my God moment came years ago when I walked away from the pulpit. I walked away from a large diving ministry, gone to North Carolina and started a whole new church, and I chose not to. I didn't want to preach anymore. I didn't want to teach not another word of this Bible to anyone. And how God had blessed me and brought Mama 7 in right on time with her nosy self asking 101 questions to grabbing my hand and saying, I'll walk with you for a little while, to the little gentle shove. And presented a radio show to me to talk and to do what God called me to do over 25 years ago. And so to be in a room, in a public space, talking about God, doing what I love the most, talking about God, because he knows he got to be thinking about me as much as I'm thinking about him. I want to say thank you. Thank you for all the support over the last almost 2 years. I only know it's almost 2 years because in about a week or so, my dad had transitioned, and I was given the opportunity to wait until January, and I said, no, we're going to start in December because I was picking up the mantle that he laid down. And so that uncomfortable position, I know that stepping out and waiting, because you got to get uncomfortable, and I waited. We left Virginia without a plan. We just, all right, gave up a house, gave up land. All right, Lord, we going. And got there, and we sat for a minute, and I was like, Lord, I don't know. Maybe I should go somewhere else. And God said, hold on. It's coming. Give me time. And sometimes it takes time. But if you really love the Lord, no matter where you find yourself, he's going to always show up right on time. He's going to change it all around. Your night will become day. Just because we're spiritual, as Mama Khadijah said last night, it's a lonely, lonely walk. If you are saying that you have these gifts and you have been called into any form of leadership, which you are a part of a wonderful approach, unfortunately, I'm sorry to have to inform you, if you didn't know, you already are a leader. If you did not know that, you are going to always find yourself in a place where you're alone. And in those quiet, lonely moments, because it gets lonely, it gets real quiet, you got to know how to get to this presence of God for yourself, by yourself, with yourself, and your crew of angels to pray with you. Yeah, we want you to communicate with others. You got to tap in. Yeah, we want you to be open and receive new friends. Yeah, we want you to be willing to talk to the stranger and share who you are with them. But we also, before anything else, we have to have God first in all things. Acknowledge first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you according to his riches and glory. I want to say thank you once again. My heart is so full. We have been at this because y'all do it feel like an hour and a half has gone by. I got 3 minutes. Oh, I got 3 whole minutes. I got out. You know, but going forward, Faith Org is going to evolve. It's going to change, and it's going to be a little bit different. You're going to see me more. I may show up in your city. I may come as a tag-along. Hey, Mama, so can I go with you? As a tag-along, because what we do, this prayer thing, this sharing our faith, teaching people how to walk by faith and not by sight. We look at money and we say, oh, Lord, I don't know because they ain't trying to pay me. I know. I can take any job I want. I tell my job all the time, I'm a nurse.
Okay.
You need me. Watch how you talk to me. You know, anything that we do, we got to know who we are. We are God's gold. We have entered the golden age. This is a new day. We cannot do the things the way we used to. So everything has to look different. The way we walk, the way we talk, the way we treat people. Even if I don't care for you, I can't mistreat you. Even if I think that, ooh, that child needs a lot of work, that doesn't mean that I have to hold my nose down to you. I'm going to try my best to do the opposite of what I would like to do. I would like to slap that out of some people, right? But I'm going to try to do the opposite and embrace them. Hold them close. Hold them tight. Let them know that love exists. Because there was a time that somebody wanted to knock my head in the wall. Somebody wanted to knock a little sense into me. Girl, you in the club bouncing that booty all around when you should have been at home praying, getting ready for church the next morning. I used to get that all the time. I used to get locked out the house, all kind of stuff. But I could, my ancestors are so excited about how I live now. I have never given my kids a curfew. I didn't have to, because I raised them in a way that they're gonna be in the house by a certain time, and they don't. I don't have to look for them. They coming home. Oh no no no! Oh, y'all going to do what? Oh, hey, can I get a ride? It doesn't matter. And it's how what you put out is what you're going to get back in. So I want to say thank you to a wonderful approach and to everyone who has come. I'm going to end Faith Walk as I always begin it with prayer. Mother, Father, God, we thank you today. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for showing up in this place and making it your church house. No matter where we are, Lord, you are the kingdom keeper, and we are your servants. We are willing and we are able to give you all that you desire of us. We ask that as we go forward with undivided hearts, that you would continue to keep us, cover us, and protect us. Those who are getting on the road, that you would give them traveling mercies. Those who are going to the Bembe, do not find themselves in places and spaces that they do not want to be. We ask that you would continue to guide the minds and the hearts and the souls of your people so that they may glorify and edify you and lift up all of your energy and your vibration in the earth, oh God. We ask for prayer and protection for Mama Seven, that you will continue to keep and cover her. We ask that for prayer and protection for the angels of A Wonderful Approach, that you will continue to lead and guide them. We ask that you will continue to help us to walk by faith. I pray this in all things in the Most High name, Ashe.